Here are your papers, gentlemen. I hope you can get some advantage out of them. 2 days later, Colonel Gerineldo Marquez, accused of high treason, was condemned to death. Lying in his hammock, Colonel Aureliano Buendía was insensible to the pleas for clemency. On the eve of the execution, disobeying the orders not to bother him, Úrsula visited him in his bedroom. Encased in black, invested with a rare solemnity, she stood during the 3 minutes of the interview. "I know that you're going to shoot Gerineldo," she said calmly, "and that I can't do anything to stop it. But I give you one warning. As soon as I see his body, I swear to you by the bones of my father and mother, by the memory of José Arcadio Buendía, I swear to you before God that I will drag you out from wherever you're hiding and kill you with my own two hands." Before leaving the room, without waiting for any reply, she concluded, "It's the same as if you'd been born with the tail of a pig." During that interminable night, while Colonel Gerineldo Marquez thought about his dead afternoons in Amaranta's sewing room, Colonel Aureliano Buendía scratched for many hours trying to break the hard shell of his solitude. His only happy moments, since that remote afternoon when his father had taken him to see ice, had taken place in his silver workshop, where he passed the time putting little gold fishes together. He had had to start 32 wars and had had to violate all of his pacts with death and wallow like a hog in the dung heap of glory in order to discover the privileges of simplicity almost 40 years late. At dawn, worn out by the tormented vigil, he appeared in the cell an hour before the execution. "The farce is over, old friend," he said to Colonel Gerineldo Marquez. "Let's get out of here before the mosquitoes in here execute you." Colonel Gerineldo Marquez could not repress the disdain that was inspired in him by that attitude. "No, Aureliano," he replied. "I'd rather be dead than see you changed into a bloody tyrant." "You won't see me," Colonel Aureliano Buendía said. "Put on your shoes and help me get this shitty war over with." When he said it, he did not know that it was easier to start a war than to end one. It took him almost a year of fierce and bloody effort to force the government to propose conditions of peace favorable to the rebels, and another year to convince his own partisans of the convenience of accepting them. He went to inconceivable extremes of cruelty to put down the rebellion of his own officers, who resisted and called for victory, and he finally relied on enemy forces to make them submit. He was never a greater soldier than at that time. The certainty that he was finally fighting for his own liberation and not for abstract ideals, for slogans that politicians could twist left and right according to the circumstances, filled him with an ardent enthusiasm. Colonel Gerineldo Marquez, who fought for defeat with as much conviction and loyalty as he had previously fought for victory, reproached him for his useless temerity. "Don't worry," he would say, smiling. "Dying is much more difficult than one imagines." In his case, it was true. The certainty that his day was assigned gave him a mysterious immunity, an immortality for a fixed period that made him invulnerable to the risks of war, and in the end permitted him to win a defeat that was much more difficult, much more bloody, and costly than victory. In almost 20 years of war, Colonel Aureliano Buendía had been at his house many times, but the state of urgency with which he always arrived, the military retinue that accompanied him everywhere, the aura of legend that glowed about his presence and of which even Úrsula was aware, changed him into a stranger in the end. The last time that he was in Macondo and took a house for his three concubines, he was seen in his own house only on 2 or 3 occasions, when he had the time to accept an invitation to dine. Remedios the Beauty and the twins, born during the middle of the war, scarcely knew him. Amaranta could not reconcile her image of the brother who had spent his adolescence making little gold fishes with that of the mythical warrior who had placed a distance of 10 feet between himself and the rest of humanity. But when the approach of the armistice became known, and they thought that he would return changed back into a human being, delivered at last for the hearts of his own people, the family feelings, dormant for such a long time, were reborn stronger than ever. "We finally have a man in the house again," Ursula said. Amaranta was the first to suspect that they had lost him forever. 1 week before the armistice, when he entered the house without an escort, preceded by 2 barefoot orderlies who deposited on the porch the saddle from the mule and the trunk of poetry, all that was left of his former imperial baggage, she saw him pass by the sewing room, and she called to him. Colonel Aureliano Buendía had trouble recognizing her. "It's Amaranta," she said good-humoredly, happy at his return, and she showed him the hand with the black bandage. "Look!"